Welcome, and I'd like to say welcome back. If you're joining us after the live jumpstart that we had just done, welcome back to joining us for more on using PowerShell for Active Directory. Yeah. And And I'm joined today by my friend and a Microsoft Premier Field Engineer, a real brilliant guy on Active Directory and PowerShell, Ashley McGlone. Ashley, how you doing?
Good to see you again.
I know, we've been here all
day. Feels like it's been days.
We've actually been here all day because we did the live jumpstart and we're going to continue on with this great module. So when did you grow that? You didn't have that in the last... No, I swear to...
You know, I was sitting, you know, the water takes so long to kick on at, you know, the IntelliSense faucets now.
You mean in the restrooms? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, right. And as I stand there waiting for it to kick on, it grew another inch.
It grew, because if you watch the jumpstart, I don't know if he had that. Anyways, we're back talking about much more information. So let me kind of show you what we're going to be doing in here in PowerShell for Active Directory. What we're going to do is we're going to talk about, stale object cleanup. Objects that you don't want out there anymore. We're going to get those all cleaned up for you. We got a lot of things, users, groups, all that kind of good stuff. We're also going to look at managing and troubleshooting AD replication. Now, you might have been using RepAdmin and stuff like that before, but now we have PowerShell. One of the most important topics is recovery. Do you have your recycle bin turned on? Well, we're going to take a look at doing some recovery. And one of my favorite things that Ashley's going to do is deployment of some domain controllers the new way, because wave goodbye to DC Promo.
Bye.
So bye, everybody say goodbye.
So goodbye.
Now there's a couple of little screens I want to show you real quick. If you were with us on the jumpstart, you've seen these. Ashley, I've got this setting expectations. We're going to give them real world stuff. It's going to be fast. It's going to be in your face. It's going to be great. This is a continuation off of that jumpstart. If you don't know PowerShell, and you should by now, then there's a Microsoft Virtual Academy Jumpstart. You can look at PowerShell. And you want to watch the Active Directory live jumpstart that we just finished. So, also, Ashley, I've got some links here real quick if you want to tell us about these links again.
Sure, I'll recap those. So the first one is MVA PowerShell AD, the MVA PS AD. All right. That one's going to take you to my blog where I've got 4 years of blog posts on Active Directory and PowerShell. But then it also is going to show you a post where you can download the scripts that I used in our demos today.
And I think that's probably the thing that everybody wants the most is all of the scripts that you've shown, because we're moving pretty quick here, but he's been kind enough to put it all up there for you so that you can have all of it. Also, on that screen, you notice that there are some books, and we recommended them in the first in our live jumpstart. We'll recommend them to you again. To get you started working with Active Directory, to dive deeper into PowerShell on Active Directory and to handle some more general issues, these are done by our friends and colleagues, and they're excellent books for your reference. Have a good day, Richard. Anyways, so that's a joke with Richard. So anyways,
and we're the two hicks from Ohio.
And we're the two hicks from Ohio. Yeah, we are. We're the two hicks from Ohio. And it's, I'm sure that... I don't actually have one. Anyways, so to our very first module out of the four modules that we're going to do is stale object cleanup. And let me show you what we're going to talk about here in stale object cleanup. The list here on my slide is actually dates, users, computers, groups.
Stale dates.
Stale dates, stale users, stale computers, stale groups.
Yeah.
What's all this stale stuff? Why do we care anyways? Why do we care about cleaning up stale objects?
All right, well, here's the thing. I tell customers this. Some people will clean up stale user accounts. Very few will clean up stale computer accounts. But stale groups, nobody touches.
Well, everybody's afraid to delete a group.
Right.
Who knows what that's been attached to.
So. And if you watched the previous module, we talked about the whole group history mystery thing, right? Using the metadata and the forensics on who's been added to the group and when. So we're not going to rehash that. But we're now going to look at stale users, computers, and groups. And some ones you want to be very careful not to delete.
Oh, that would be the exceptions, right?
Right.
Please don't delete these. Because that could be bad. Because remember, when you're doing a cleanup process, you don't want to make a mistake and clean up more than what you need. So, stale dates, they just taste terrible. So why don't you take us to, sorry, I had to do that. That was the production guy. Barry said that, did the whole stale dates things just taste terrible. But
as we get into that, let me kind of set the stage here.
Okay.
I'm not going to give you, I've had some baked demos so far that were nice full solutions. This one's not. What I'm going to do is I'm going to give you the tools to make your own, because I'm not going to do it all for you, right? Aww. You're supposed to be learning PowerShell. So I'm going to give you the tools and set you up for success in scripting your own stale object cleanup routine.
Now, that's awesome.
Yeah, so there's a couple key things that everybody needs to keep in mind. And on my screen here, I've got a list of those things. So when you create a stale recovery or a stale cleanup solution, first things first, enable the recycle bin, okay? Because if you trash something you think is stale and it's not, you're gonna want it back.
Uh-huh.
Make sure you've got the recycle bin turned on. So next, find your stale accounts, be they users, computers, or groups, okay? Then you're gonna filter that against a known exceptions list.
Okay, these are the things we don't ever wanna right. get rid of, okay.
So whether they're application accounts, cluster accounts, we're gonna talk about, at the end, we're gonna talk about what some of these popular exceptions are, but also in your business, you're going to have some popular exceptions as well that are unique to your environment. Then you're going to disable them after X days of inactivity. You pick the range of dates, you know, how many days old you want them to be, and then you can update the description to say you disable the account and you put some, you append to the description to say account disabled by automatic whatever, you know, on this date. And then you wait for people to call. Right?
So, well, it's disabled. So if it was an account that's being used, somebody's going to call or some service is going to break. You're going to get an indication.
Right.
By not immediately deleting it, you're saving yourself the headache, right?
Right.
Now you have for X amount of days. Now, in the past, I've been kind of aggressive. It's been, I'll disable it for 30 days. If I don't hear anything, it goes. But what would you probably recommend for, you know, as a number?
Well, if you've got SOX or PCI, Sarbanes-Oxley, some type of compliance, let's say, that may dictate to you, or you may set the standard and they hold you to that standard depending on the type of compliance that you have or just whatever business rules you want to hold up to.
Okay, excellent.
It's up to you. With computers particularly, if it's past 30 days, we know they're stale.
Yeah.
Next, you're going to delete that account after X more days. So let's say we got a 90-day window, nobody's touched this account or used it, it rolls to disabled. 30 days, nobody's called in to report it, we'll whack it at that point, which is still not really gone because we got the recycle bin as a fallback, right? Yeah. Now, if it's a computer, you might want to go out and then do some DNS queries. We have some new handy-dandy DNS commandlets that
yes,
you can use.
Do.
You can take that computer name and then go query DNS for A records, quad A records, or pointer records and go find them and clean those up.
Did you say quad A records?
Quad A.
Okay, you Microsofties, we don't call them quad A. We call them the A records.
A, the Fonzie
right.
reference
That's right.
earlier.
Fonzie.
Yeah.
A records.
All right.
Do you have any A or A yeah. records?
Yeah, okay.
Sorry, I had to throw that in. I'll show.
Right. I like that, man. That's good. And so then if anyone complains, you use restore AD object. That's
Excellent.
Your commandlet to save things. And we're going to talk about that later in a subsequent module. So let's keep rolling here, keep things moving. First off, let's take a look at a user account, for example, here, and look at the data types of the properties on a user account. You notice we got given name, display name, description, department, all that stuff. But then we've got a bunch of these int64
yeah.
really long numbers that can some be represented as dates. We also have some date time fields, created timestamp, Modified, really when changed, modified. These are all just aliased property names. They're really the same thing. Some of these are replicated, some of them aren't, and some of them are global catalog, some of them aren't. So you just kind of have to, you know, pick these. That's kind of the minefield you get into when you're looking at dates. But let's look at just the date fields. So here we've got things like int64 and date time. Now, most of these are date. I just looked at int64. So we got account expires. That's the date that you go into the GUI and you say, this account expires on this date.
Right.
Okay. Bad password time. Created. Last log off, last log on, last
yeah.
log on timestamp. Remember, last log on is per DC. Last log on timestamp is replicated. That's the one you really want to look at there. One little nasty thing, when changed. I always used to use when created and when changed, but then somebody pointed out in a comment on one of my blog posts, you know, that the when changed is not replicated. And I'd always assumed so it was, but it's not.
So you'd have to check all the domain
you'd have
controllers
to check all the DCs
for the last change occurred for like that particular account or whatever.
And,
oh, okay.
And like we looked at in the forensics, if anything on that account changes, then that when changed gets updated, which is a really nice fail-safe to say, okay, forget all these other attributes. Let's just look at the when changed.
Changed, yeah.
But you have to skim it off of all the DCs first for that to be effective. So these date formats get really ugly really fast. So I'm going to get my list of date properties here, and then I'm going to query for those properties. Get the property names, and let's go to the administrator account. And now we're going to come back with all these date properties now on the admin account.
Now, see, here's the thing. If you've been working with WMI, this happens a lot in WMI as well.
Yeah.
Especially when you get with dates and all that kind of stuff. This weird numbering kind of thing. What am I supposed to do with that?
And WMI has methods on every class to handle that, right? But not in AD.
Yeah.
So how do we fix
those? WMI has the convert the.
Yeah.
From into date time stuff.
So here we've got a user then, and we got bad password time. We got last log on timestamp.
Yeah, I want to know when this is.
I can't do anything with those numbers.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense.
Because I don't have enough fingers to add up the number of 100 millisecond intervals since January 1st, 1601.
Is that what? Yeah. What? It's the number of
100 millisecond intervals since January 1st, 1601.
What?
Exactly. It's crazy.
Okay.
And that's supposed to make sense to me for what reason?
Okay, so they had a starting point of January 1st of 1601.
Yeah.
I don't know. And this is the number of 100 milliseconds since then would give you the date and time if you could do that.
Yeah, just add that up in your head.
Hey, can you do me a favor? Is there another way to do that? Because I don't want to do that.
All right, let's take a look. Back to my screen here. So we've got the get date commandlet, right? That's not it's not like a dating service. It's get-date, right?
Yeah, I always thought that get job and get date didn't really, you know, give all the promise they had.
Right. But,
you know.
So here we go. We've also got the date time data type with a static member here now.
Okay.
And then UTC now, UTC being universal time code, which most of us call Greenwich Mean Time, GMT, right? And there's some fancy reason why that's not really what it is. But anyway, so there we go. Let's take a look. We've got some static members here. And some of these methods have from file time UTC. File time's what we call this. So if I say get date to file time UTC, it gives me one of those long ugly numbers.
Yeah, okay, I'm not liking that.
And then to file time just is without the time zone difference.
Okay.
Okay. So now that says, all right, I know how I can get the current date and time. Anything I can do with date, time, modifier, methods like add days, remove, you know, all that stuff. So that's cool because now I can convert that into one of those ugly numbers.
Okay, but you're happy because you can convert it into an ugly number.
Right.
I'm not
so
happy
let's
about
let's do
yet.
This. So let's say date time from file time, and we're going to use this long little piece of syntax here to go grab the password last set attribute.
And that's going to be one of those funny long numbers.
Which is one of those funny long numbers. And we pipe that as a parameter to from file time. And all of a sudden, that funny long number, look at
from
that.
From file time is going to turn it, that ugly number into the number. So it's the one that has all the fingers that can do all the counting.
Right.
I love that.
Yeah, .NET has more fingers than I do.
Yeah.
So UTC then, again, just the hours for the time zone difference is the only
big deal there.
So now how can we wrap that into AD to start looking at the last time a password was set either on a user account or a computer account? Now, you know, the computer account has a 30-day secret password in the background, right? So that's what we'd be looking at. So password last set then, we can say get AD user, administrator, properties, password last set. So that's going to be the value then. And we can say, is that greater than get date -30 days to file time. We've got a long ugly number here, and we convert the current date to a long ugly number, and then they can talk long ugly syntax to each other, and we say, no, it's not. The other way around is we can say, take that long ugly number, make it a real date and time that'll compare to a real date and time.
I really like this. Which do you prefer? Do you prefer to, when you're doing the comparisons and all that kind of stuff, to leave it in the ugly number stuff, and then maybe if you want to see the difference, you then convert it so you can read it, or?
Well, this is because we want to do there's going to be a where clause coming into play here. Oh, where object, yeah. And we need to compare where the password last set was greater than 30 days ago, let's say.
Right.
As one way, remember there's all these different date fields that we can choose from, last logon, password, last set, and that's really the trick to this stale stuff. It's figuring out which set of dates you want to use. Maybe you want to use multiple dates and combine that with enabled, disabled. So that's why I'm leaving this up to you to determine your criteria of what you want to set there.
Or what you consider to be stale.
Right. Right. So let's keep moving on then real quickly here. Password last set is not a global catalog attribute. So you must query one DC per domain to get that. So I've got my list of DCs here. For each DC, I'm going to go out and get the password last set
and this
stuff.
Is what you were mentioning earlier about things that weren't necessarily that replicated or in
and Google I can hear catalog. Some of you out there saying, oh my, I am not going to write all of that. And I wouldn't expect you to. Basically, all this is, just look at one of these lines at a time. It's a custom column with select object, stuff that's basic PowerShell. Now we're just amping it up a little bit.
Yeah, the expressions are a little bit amped up, but you should be able to write this. You know, and the expressions can get challenging, but this is something that we should be able to do.
So what we're doing then is we're selecting all these passwords. We're creating password last set converted. So now we can render it in a real date time format.
Right.
So we just call that static member or method there from file time and translate the value coming through the pipeline. So that's how we do that. Then we crank all that out to an export CSV and you got a handy dandy report of all your accounts and all the dates. And then you can kind of take a look at it from there.
I like that.
Yeah.
So that's the date stuff, right?
Yeah, let me go over one other thing though on password last set. If password last set is zero.
Password last set is zero? That means you created an account and didn't give it a password?
Bingo.
Oh, hey, I got something right for once.
Good job, Jason.
And the crowd roars.
Yes. All right, we got a lot to cover here. Let's keep moving. So password last set is zero, or if it's this crazy long hex number, 7 with a bunch of Fs, that also indicates password never expires, and that's one of those things you would only find out by reading those technical documents I referenced earlier.
Yeah. Okay.
So here we can take a look at this little report, and we see here's a list of all the accounts, users, and computers, password last set interpreted to something that really makes sense.
Makes sense, yeah.
Last logon timestamp, account expires if that were ever set, so forth. So here's that long number, it's a zero, that number means it was never set, right? So that's probably plenty here. The when changed, just to see, you know, I get two different values on when changed. If I query, there's a 1:05:59 p.m. on that DC, and here's run it on the other DC, 1:05:44 p.m. Slightly different, but different values nonetheless. So when changed, you'd have to go write a routine to hit all the DCs for that. So let's move on to the next slide then.
Okay, so our next slide is on users specifically. So we've talked about how to deal with converting the dates and all that kind of stuff. Now, what do I look for stale users?
Like I said, there's so many different flat users. So many different date ways to do this, right? Because we've got all these different dates to work with. We pick the one we want and we kind of put some criteria around it. But we've made this even easier with a built-in commandlet.
Okay, I'm excited.
So here we go, search AD account, inactive, users only.
Oh, well, yeah.
It's that easy. All right, and this is looking at last logon data.
It's for his last logon.
That's how it's measuring the inactivity.
And in a lot of respects, that's what a lot of people are interested in, right? If you ain't logged on in 90 days, then...
Yep, so then here's our report. We pipe it to out grid view, and this is all returned by one commandlet. Password expired, never expires, SAM account, SID, all that. All those cool dates in there. Last logon date, etc. Stale accounts, enabled, true or false. Nice. Now, you can also specify your own time span.
Yeah. I like that a lot.
New dash time span. Let's see if I can remember. I wrote a quote on my blog from it was Sun Tzu, I believe, originally said this. If teach a man to, no, give a man a script, feed him for a get date. Teach a man to script, feed him for a new dash time span.
Yeah, that sounds exactly like something that Sun Tzu would say on give a new time. Okay, yeah.
Anyway, geek. That's deep geek PowerShell humor there. Yeah.
Yeah, that's deep geek.
Tell that at the Thanksgiving table. Nobody's gonna get that one. All right. Yeah.
Yeah, that's our deep PowerShell.
Right. So here we go. By default, I don't remember what the interval is. It's probably 30 days, something like that. You can set your own time span here, say 90 days.
I love that, yeah.
And that changes the criteria. I can also give it a specific date that I want to check for stale since that date. So that's built in. I can also say account disabled versus account inactive. I can't combine them, but I can do one or the other here.
Oh, so you could generate two different reports or whatever that, you know, show me the accounts that are disabled, show me the accounts that haven't been used in or since a time. That's awesome.
Or I can just write a big boy script that'll go get all that and put it in one.
And put it into one report,
right. Yeah. So here we go. Let's take a look at stale user data here. And this is where we've gone out and we've said, let's go grab the account, password expired, enabled, all that. Password age in days is a calculated column. I should have put some carriage returns in this. Let me scroll way over here. Password age in days is going to be a new time span with the password less set date with today's date.
Today's date. Okay, that makes sense. Okay.
You know what? That should be total days there, probably. Yeah. Account expiration and so forth. And so that's going to give us this report here that says, all right, here's how old the password is. Here's how long it's been since they logged on. This person is not on leave from the company. They're actually really gone if they've been gone 293 days since they logged in.
Yeah.
So last log on count. Log on count's not that dependable, but it's interesting to throw in there. So there you go. A bunch of different dates. And this is the reason why I said we're not going to hand you a solution. There's all these different ways to measure password last set, last log on, and so we want to be flexible about how we do that.
Yeah, depending upon the criteria you've chosen, now you could say, well, after X amount of, let's say, days that it's been inactive, go ahead and disable the process you started us with, right?
Yeah.
Now go ahead and disable. We'll wait so many days before we delete, that kind of thing.
Yeah, and then finally we got search AD account expired. So if we've set a date
Of expiration.
For expiration, okay. That'll show us who's past that. Let's keep moving on, then hit the next slide there.
Sure, computers. So we got users, we also have computers. Now, computers need to get cleaned up too, but that's one of those things that people seem to forget about. I don't know why.
Yeah. Boy, I was at a customer recently and they had like tens of thousands. You got to be careful in VDI environments.
Yeah, yeah.
Make sure they reuse the computer accounts. They don't generate a new one every time a new VDI session spawns, that kind of thing. So, hey, check this out. Does this look familiar? Search AD account.
Right.
Inactive. Computers only.
Well, now this is going to make it awfully easy, partner.
Yes, it is. So now I just run this view, and I get all my computer accounts in my dead little lab here with no action, right? So here they are, last log on date of 2012. All right, so there's some stale computers in there. And so that's built in with that prim.
The same process I was doing for the users only, now I can do computers only. I notice you've got the time span.
Right.
Same thing.
Same stuff, right, just for computers. And again, though, then maybe I take that list and I add some other logic to maybe go look it up in DNS, see if it still has an entry. Maybe it's been scavenged already.
Maybe it's been scavenged. If it was a static entry, then now you want to try to ping it to see if it's still out there, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yep. So here's one, find active XP computers. Anybody?
I'm sorry, what kind of computers did you say?
Well, some of our customers have a keen interest in computers that are beyond support now.
XP, isn't that like back from like, isn't that like an old Altair or something like that?
It stands for X paperclip.
Oh, X paperclip. Okay, good.
Yeah. Go check out the videos on YouTube of Clippy.
Of Clippy.
The demise of Clippy. There's three videos. Yeah, it explains all of that. So I want to flip over real quick to my 2008 R2 Forest here because I have an XP machine out here. It's my last Forest where I've got one. So I can see my XP machine. I still got one out there. And what this does then is we can turn this into a query that says get all these OS, operating system, and we're looking for operating system like XP on the computer account. And then we just go add some of those date timestamps on there. And then we do some little kung fu here where we say, look at the security scripter and define the owner of that computer account. Just maybe that'll give us a clue to who has it. Probably not, but just maybe. And so we run that little report there.
So you're not only finding the fact that you have some XP computers, you're kind of trying to identify as much information so you could track it down and replace it.
So we want to look at anyone that's been touched within the last 90 days to say it's been in use.
Ooh.
Yeah. This is the number one post on my blog right now for the last 8 months or so.
Well, that's good, though, because that means people are trying to look for them and get rid of them.
Exactly.
Okay, I'm grateful.
Yes. So that's how you can find those, then, by searching on the operating system property of the computer object and then doing your staleness with whatever dates you want to use.
And this is a great example of what you had talked about very early on in the Jumpstart, the live one that we were doing, was one of the ways we used to be able to find some of this information was using WMI and SIM. And we still can.
Right.
But we've got commandlets that can help us with this and just pull it right out of AD, which gives us a little bit more flexibility, I think, in this case.
Yep. I'm just kind of scrolling through my demo files here to see if there's anything else we want to do on that one. Oh, yeah, let's look right here. So what happens when we're all done with this, we find these. We want to do something with them.
Right.
So we want to find our destination OU. Maybe we've got an OU out there called to be deleted. If you want to just like bucket all those.
We found a bunch of computers that are either inactive or that are inactive.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to put them into this OU until we're ready to delete. I got it.
So here we go. We just take our computer accounts. Now, in this case, I'm piping in from a CSV. Maybe we've done some sanitization, cleaning up ones we want to keep and so forth. So we take that, or we could just do it from a live query in AD, pipe that into distinguish name. For each one of these, we want to disable the account and then move it to that destination OU. Easy enough.
And then at some time interval that we've already decided, we can delete it.
So now it makes it real easy. We got one bucket OU. We just run our wipe once a week that hits that. If the accounts in there have not been touched in 30 days, we just whack them.
Now, what about groups? I would assume the groups is pretty much the same way.
We got the title bar already up.
I got the title bar right here.
All right, groups. Let's hit groups then. So let's take a look. Stale groups. How do you measure stale groups? Now, you can look at some of these same date properties, but obviously a group's not going to have a password last set or last log on. So what kinds of things would you look at?
Well,
then?
See, that's what my question is. What I'm thinking of is that I'm looking for groups that no longer have members.
Right.
Am I right again?
Or they could have members and just never been used. That's kind of hard to tell.
Yeah, that's harder to tell, though.
It is harder.
That's why
people never clean up stale groups. Right?
Because it's dangerous.
We don't know what's going to break.
Right.
And we delete this one. So let's take a look. Here's a report. We're just doing a big fancy query. And again, look at this. Filter star property.
Oh, you're doing a nice
just
save.
The properties. Yeah. And we're only doing 80 groups. So we're not telling me get every object in the whole domain. Yeah. Right. So here we go. We're going to calculate out some columns, member count, member of, is it nested somewhere?
Okay.
Does it have SID history associated with it? And then we're going to look at the when change. And again, that when change is kind of the weak spot here, but we're going to say, how long has it been since that group was updated? So if we take a look at this kind of view, we've got a list of all the groups then, what type of group it is, security, global, universal, that kind of stuff, when created, when changed, who are the members, and then way over here, then we've got some stats on the group that says member count, member of, which would be nested, it doesn't have SID history, and how many days since the group has been touched.
Oh, okay. So if you know that if you've got a member count of zero and you've got, it isn't nested, then
it's pretty safe.
It's pretty safe to go ahead and get rid of that group because it's not being used for anything.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Yep. Now, there's another. This is a really long, complicated script, and I'm just going to run it once here so people can see what it does. But I was working with a customer who wanted to do some massive group cleanup, and they wanted to consolidate and identify duplicate groups.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So what I did, I'll just kick off this little report here. All right, it doesn't like it. Anyway, let me just pop up an example of this. So what it does is it says, I'm going to go out there and find groups that are similar within, say, plus or minus 25% of member count.
Okay.
And then I'm going to look at how many, I'm going to do a compare object between the members of each of those groups and find how many members are identical between the two groups.
Okay, so I see. Did we create more groups that do the exact same thing than we needed to? So if they have a very similar membership, okay, I get where you're going with this. Okay.
It's still not pretty. It's quite ugly. Pretty, but here, I've got a match percentage that shows me how close these groups could be related potentially. So I can see potential overlap between duplicated groups, and I can go clean up some groups that way as well. And then we can also add in later the group, how many are members. There we go. So we've got, it's really rough, but it's one way in a large environment to go compare group memberships.
And without doing something like this, like you said, this is the reason why people aren't cleaning up groups. It's not easy, but at least with this, now I have something I can now look at, investigate, and go, oh, wait a minute, this is redundant. I don't need this.
Yeah.
Oh, that's excellent. What am I not allowed to delete?
Well, have we got a slide for that?
Well, of course I have a slide for that. Got a slide for exceptions.
Yeah, and that pretty
things
little
things that I should never, ever get rid of.
All right, so I don't have a script for this, but on my screen here you can see I just have some things that you want to be aware of. And there are some blog posts out there, the AskDS blog, which is the famous Ask Directory Services team blog. They did a post on this several years ago. There's a number of things you can go search on. But here's some things to be aware of in your exceptions. So you want to keep a database or a CSV file for this for certain business rules, whether it's special accounts with non-expiring passwords that never get changed, so therefore it looks like they never were used.
Your business's custom things that you know that should never get rid of. This has nothing to do with the technology of Active Directory. It's about my business. I know that this group of managers and this and this and this should never be touched.
Exactly. Next, we got user accounts. The big one that I always point out is the KRBTGT.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kerberos?
Yep. This is the Kerberos ticket granting tickets, what that stands for.
Yeah.
So this is the account that's used to encrypt Kerberos conversations for authentication. And one sneaky little thing is that this account password changes when you go to 2008 R2 domain functional mode. Because we level up the Kerberos authentication from AES 128 to AES 256, so we had to reset the password to be stronger. So that's one little thing. That's the only reason this account should change since the domain was created, really. So it shouldn't have much activity ever. And if you do delete this one by accident, fill out your resume. Get it ready. It's not going to be pretty.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is what we call an RPE, a resume producing event. So don't delete this account.
Ah, yes. Next is computer objects. Cluster accounts. Got to be careful with those.
Yeah, if you've got cluster accounts, you've got the virtual account objects, all that kind of stuff. You got to make sure that gets in the list. I'm so glad you're bringing this up.
And I've noticed like Samba accounts. If you've
Samba
got
accounts?
Placeholder computer accounts for Samba.
I didn't think about that.
That kind of thing. That's essentially a dead account. It doesn't really do a whole lot.
Right.
So it's not going to get touched as well. Those will show up. And then finally, groups. And this could go for users and computers as well, but schema admins, for example, you probably rarely touch that group. It could show up.
It could show up as being inactive, but you definitely don't want to get rid of it.
Exactly. backup operators, account ops. Some of these groups that some people with less mature IT shops have not developed the use of these operators groups, or maybe they've got other management systems that around that manage those things. You still don't want to delete these. So you might want to add to your exception list some of those built-in accounts and groups that show up in the list. Make sure that these go into your exception process. So I think that really gives our viewers
Now, one of the things is that you should be cleaning up your stale accounts. As you can see, there's all kinds of techniques of now figuring out how best for your business you can identify those stale accounts. But as Ashley pointed out, you want to disable them first before you delete them and make sure you have the recycle bin turned on. We're going to be talking about the recycle bin as well a little bit later on.
Right.
But you know what we get to do when we come back? This, I'm really excited about this. Not as excited as I am about the last thing we do, but I'm really excited about the fact that we're going to take a look at managing and troubleshooting replication.
Replication.
I know, it's one of my favorite things.
Yeah.
So when we come back, it's all about replication.